Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show. Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here. Another day behind the microphone here at Faith Radio. Thanks to their commitment to the hiring of unskilled labor. Don't laugh at that, Neil. Right. I think you hired me.
Yes, I was part of it.
That was your mistake as well. We've got a great second hour planned. I have Sam Sorbo in studio with me, so as she's going to guest host with me, we're going to talk about her book and her movie, and we were real close to having her husband Kevin come with, but he couldn't make it because he's playing golf at the 3M something or other. So we have Kevin's stunt double named Leroy, who is here in the studio doing push-ups.
Yeah.
So he's at about 300 already. So we're very impressed with Leroy. Anyway, Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We want to actually invite callers this morning who homeschool, because you're a huge fan of that, and you've got a book out that we want to talk about, and we're going to invite our callers to ask you questions, because the name of the book is They're Your Kids.
That's right.
And I'm excited to talk to you about that. We're just going to take a little tiny break just to get things wound up. Give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, if you have a question about homeschooling. Sam Sorbo is my guest in studio. And in the second half hour today, we're going to talk about their new, Teach From Love. Yeah, that's the name of the book, Teach From Love. And in the second half hour, we're going to talk about a new movie coming out, Let There Be Light, which I believe comes out around Thanksgiving.
Yes. For clarification, there are two books. There are two. One's called They're Your Kids. That's the one on homeschooling, and Teach From Love,
yes,
the new devotional.
Gotcha. I knew
so,
there were, yeah, I knew
just
you cleared
to be
things
clear
up. No, I appreciate
all
that. All right. I love being corrected.
I just realized, wait.
It's 6 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back. Good morning. It's 7 minutes after the hour, and welcome to the show. I'm just, I'm not trying to be lazy today, but I'm taking full advantage of having Sam Sorbo in studio to sort of help co-host and also to talk about a couple of her projects, which are huge. Anyway, Sam, again, welcome. We're going to talk about homeschooling in this first half hour because you are very passionate about it, and
yes,
you've got a new devotional out called Teach From Love, but
yes,
you also have a book that you've written called They're Your Kids. And I want to open up the phone lines to anyone who's got a question for Sam, 1-877-933-2484. It's always important to include the hyphen, you know, just so you don't give them all
I
these numbers
I never know
at
how
once
to dial that hyphen. I've
yeah
tried.
Have you tried?
There's nowhere on the phone. There's a hashtag, but then that
yeah
gets everything all messed up. So.
Well, I will reveal that secret to you
okay
at the end of the show. Yeah.
Maybe Leroy can show us how to do that. Okay, folks, okay, Leroy won't be on the program because he's not paid to speak.
Stunt doubles don't,
yeah,
they don't actually talk.
No.
They're just doing push-ups.
They're actually
and now crunches.
Yeah, exactly.
Down,
crunches.
Down, Leroy, down. Okay. let's talk about the book, They're Your Kids. Let's start there.
Okay, They're Your Kids. I started homeschooling when my oldest was in second grade.
Why?
They failed him.
What do you mean?
Not as in they gave him a passing grade, a failing grade. They actually achieved a failing grade. The schools did. By my standards, I was very disappointed. I'll tell you, 5 months in, we turned in a book report every month. I never got it back graded. I was in the classroom a lot. I was one of those guilt parents, so I was always helping out, teaching art to the kids, taking them to the library, doing all this stuff. I talked to the teacher at least twice a week. Just chit-chat, but still, I was in the classroom speaking with her, and I was in the classroom 5 months in helping her clean up after a long day, and I said, by the way, how are Braden's book reports? And she said, oh, not very good, without batting an eyelash, like so quick. And I thought, now, why did it take me asking to discover that my son was not achieving standard work level? And so I asked her some more questions. And honestly, the more I thought about it, every excuse that I came up with for her made her look worse. And I liked her. I didn't want I didn't want to feel that way about her. But she was overworked. Yeah, okay. Maybe she just didn't care. Maybe, you know, she had too much else on her mind. Maybe the book reports weren't important. Maybe I just didn't. nothing really fit. And so I thought more about it. And then we went away. My husband was shooting Soul Surfer at the time. We spent 3 weeks in Hawaii, and I was doing the schoolwork with the kids at home or at the hotel. And I just realized I wasn't that enamored with the work that they were sending home with the kids. Now, mind you, they sent a bunch of busy work, because what happens is the school sends the work home with the child so that you can bring back the work, so that they have something to show the state, so that they can get the money for mm-hmm. having schooled the child.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, you know, this is just not, it's not achieving what I wanted. So I talked to Kevin, and we decided to homeschool for a semester. I said, I'm just going to do it for a semester. I was filled with trepidation. That's why the subtitle of my book is An Inspirational Journey from Self-Doubter mm-hmm. to Homeschool Advocate. I'm a self-doubter. And mind you, I shouldn't be, but self-doubt was engendered in me by the public schools. And so that's why I say to parents who say, oh, I could never do that, I say, you know, the reason that you believe that you could never do it is because the schools taught you that you can't do anything that you haven't been specifically instructed to do, and you don't have a credential to do, so you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking you, why are you sending your third grader back into the system that turned out you?
Yeah, great point.
So that's my first book. And then I tutor basically in a co-op 12 seventh graders. And so every week I would put a godly characteristic up on the board for us to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And we would workshop it. We taught, what does it look like? What does it look like when it's missing? Why do we want that characteristic? Why when we don't have it, why is that ungodly? Why does that not help us in life? And I just realized this is a really great tool. And then I was thinking, you know, how are kids going to get these characteristics unless we purposefully discuss them with our children? And so I wrote Teach from Love, which is a devotional, but it focuses on 72 godly characteristics, two each week, 36 weeks of the school year. So it's a school year devotional.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, it was for homeschoolers, but then I thought, you know, who really can benefit from this? All children in any kind of educational setting or in other settings. I mean, just really, it's a book for everyone. In fact, on the back cover, I say godly qualities we want for our kids. And then in parentheses, I put and for ourselves, because we can all use a little goose every now and then.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we were workshopping patience one day. What is patience? What does it look like? What does it look like when you don't have patience? What are some synonyms for patience? What are some antonyms for patience? You know what one of the antonyms for patience is? Anger.
Wow. Neil, do you know what the word antonym means?
I was waiting. Sorry.
I was freaking out there a little
that
bit.
That was like
Public
an epiphany.
School, sorry.
That was an epiphany for me that the opposite of patience is anger.
Wow. That's
it's
crazy.
Impatience is, but what is impatience? It's anger.
Yeah.
And so the reason that we are called to be patient is to keep us from anger. So anyway, I found it fascinating. I thought this could be a tool for everybody. I encourage parents who have their children in school to buy it for their teachers. Some of the book, so every week we go through, the week begins with just a little story that either shows the characteristic or shows the lack of that characteristic. And then, of course, there are Bible verses and there are discussion questions every day. And so anybody, even in a secular setting, can use some of the stories each week that are non-biblical in case there's like a problem with mm-hmm. bringing the Bible
and there
into
will be.
The classroom,
yeah.
Right? But there's plenty of opportunity in this book to sort of steer clear of the Bible. I mean, I make no bones about it. The reason that we live in a free society is because we're Judeo-Christian and we adhere to biblical tenets.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason that we live freely today. And as we start to lose that adherence to biblical values, we are losing our freedom. That's the way it works, because our Constitution was created for a morally principled body, and we're becoming less and less morally principled. So this is my little effort to try to get a little bit of that back into our culture.
Well, it's more than a little effort. Could you walk us through maybe an example of what a day might be like in your book?
Well, I could read you one, but
that would be great.
Seriously?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on. Let me find a good one.
All right. Find a good one. And, you know, I would love for the audience to get a chance to hear it. And I think there's also a way that they can get access to maybe one chapter of your book. Is that not possible?
Yes, it's true. If they text, what's the text boom number?
All right. We'll get that figured out.
We're going to ask Leroy for the text boom
number. Yeah, we'll take a break right now. I'll give you a chance to find exactly what you're looking for. And then we'll come back. We'll tell our listening audience how to get access to maybe a chapter of that. It is 15 minutes after the hour. I am in studio with Sam Serbel. We'll take a short break and be right back. Good morning. I am in studio with Sam Serbel. We're talking about homeschooling. I hope my mom is not listening, but if she would have homeschooled me today, I'd be a night watchman at a bran muffin factory. But she didn't, because, you know, my mom was busy. She's got
that
a lot of kids.
That actually requires some explanation.
She had a lot of stuff going on in her life.
I figured if you were hoping that she wasn't listening, that you were about to say I would have been an aerospace engineer. But because I went to public school.
I went to public school, yeah. So you've got an excerpt from your book,
I do.
Teach from Love, which
and
is
I will
a devotional.
Say, you asked about a free download.
I did.
So if they text teach, the word teach, and that's spelled T-E-A-C-H, for those of you who graduated public school. No, I'm kidding. I rag on them. By the way, I want to point out, I don't get down on teachers. I love teachers.
I know you do.
I think that the system has been, the system is not a functioning system. And the funny thing is, we all agree there's something broken about our education system, but no one is really willing to do the hard work of examining what's wrong with it. And what's fascinating to me is what's going to happen is because we're living in a new economy, we're living in a completely new economic reality. People change jobs by three times by the age of 30. And it's no longer, the paradigm is no longer, oh, you go to college, you get a degree, you get a job with a company, you work for 50 years, you retire with a gold watch. That's gone. And so we really need to be rethinking our whole education structure.
Mm-hmm.
And the focus of home education really is to engender lifelong learning. The reason for that is, one, we want to be learning about God. That is the goal of education, is how God reveals himself to us. And when we strive to discover new things, we're striving to discover God. But the other thing is that you need to keep learning, because you're going to change jobs and you want to be in a position of going, you know what? What I really want to do now is X, Y, Z. How do I go about that? Oh, I know, because I've taught myself so many things. I know how to teach myself that. And that was my big discovery as a home educator. I wouldn't be sitting here with a book. I wouldn't have done the movie. There's so many things that I would never have even thought to do if I hadn't started home education and realized that I was capable of teaching myself.
Mm.
Not only my children, but myself.
Interesting.
And you learn a lot when you teach your children. So I'm going to read you from Obedience and Devotion, the chapter on obedience and devotion. We want obedience and we want devotion from our kids, right? But if we don't teach them what that looks like and what that feels like and how that works, then they're never going to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
An hour a week in church isn't going to teach that to them. So Monday is called Rooted, and it starts with First, it is early in the
morning. That's my job.
First Thessalonians 2:12, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The root is an important part of a plant. It procures minerals and waters from the soil and anchors the plant so external elements won't knock it down. Roots also store food for the future. Jesus once told a parable about a farmer sowing seeds. Some of the seeds were sown on rocky ground where there wasn't enough soil. The seed sprouted quickly but then withered away when the sun came because it didn't have enough roots. True roots run deep. And Christians with deep roots show obedience and devotion. The root word of devotion is devote, from the Latin word devotus, the past participle of devovio, which means to vow. To vow, a vow shows steadfast commitment, which implies and dictates obedience. As you begin this week, consider your root in Christ. Think of how he feeds you, saying, I am the bread of life, John 6:48. He also gives you hope as an anchor for your soul, Hebrews 6:19, and provides for your future. But seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you, Matthew 6:33. Lord, as I meditate on your word, may I reaffirm my obedience and devotion to you. And then I end with two questions. What are some specific ways you can show devotion to someone you love? And number two, how can you demonstrate complete obedience to God? And so those questions open up the discussion between you and your children. And I would encourage the parent to answer the question in front of the child. My chance to show devotion to your dad today is I'm going to make him coffee this morning. That's my way of showing him that I'm devoted to him, to his health, to his, and by the way, that's a horrible example because my husband doesn't drink coffee. Oh. I don't even know why that came out. But for instance, right?
Yeah.
That would be an example of something. And then so every day you have, it's that short, literally. So it's completely doable. And it's a way to focus your children on what makes me a, quote, good person. We have a whole, you know, culture that says, well, I'm a good person. But what is that that makes you a good person? And by the way, how do you define good without God?
True.
I don't know.
Yeah. Sam, that was great. So how do you get on the same page with your spouse when it comes to homeschooling? I had a listener call in and say years ago they studied the issue of homeschooling, but he and his wife couldn't come to an agreement on it. So he felt like he missed the opportunity for the kids, and now he looks at what's happening in some of the public schools and the anti-socialization that some have, and he says, I feel we could have done better.
That's a several part question. The anti-socialization, you know, one of the biggest pushbacks that I get is, well, I want, how do you socialize your child? And mm-hmm. I say, well, I don't want my children to be socialist, because that's what they're taught in schools. Yeah. Listen, just putting your child in a room full of 30 other kids his age not only guarantees no friends, there's no guarantee that he'll make friends, but it also doesn't teach him manners. You're not going to learn manners from a room full of sixth graders. How do you get on the same page with your spouse? You know, there are three parts to a marriage. There's you, your spouse, and Jesus Christ. You know, he's the healer. You need to talk it out. Now, if you have a spouse that's just intransigent and says, absolutely no, there's no way, I'm not even going to look at it. I don't know how you overcome that. I'm lucky that I'm not in that situation. My husband was quite reluctant. He went to public school right here in Minnesota, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Loved every day. He was a jock. He was popular. It was like the greatest thing ever. It was sort of all downhill after high school. Not really, but you know.
Yeah, you know how it goes.
For me, high school was awful. It was like a torture camp. I just hated it. And so I missed more days than probably we could count. And so for me, it was an easier shift to go. And yet I was taking on the bulk of the responsibility. So I was filled with trepidation. I was hugely nervous, anxious. But I kind of went, as badly as they're failing my child, I can fail less badly myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what the bar is so low these days. And there are some good schools. I'm not saying there aren't good schools, but the system is a dysfunctional system. And so you're really, it's luck of the draw. And it's luck of the, like, what teacher did you get? You know, I remember in my school, they wouldn't post the teachers because there were favorite teachers that people wanted. And so they wouldn't post the teacher assignments until the day before school. And you weren't allowed to challenge that. If you really think about it, you go, why am I putting my child into a system that not only can't guarantee his safety, can't guarantee he's going to get an education? There have been several cases of parents suing the school system for not teaching their child to read. And in every single one, the judgments come back on the parents. Your responsibility to teach a child to read. The parents go, but the school, but what? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's also this idea of authority. The school, whether willfully or unwittingly, undermines and usurps the authority of the parent. And I believe that that's why we have sort of such issues with, oh, he's such a teenager because he's challenging parental authority. Yeah, when they become teens, they challenge authority. But your authority's already been undermined by the time your child reaches teenagerdom in the school system. When the child comes home at, you know, in kindergarten, mommy, you have to sign my reading list. The teacher says you have to sign it. That child is telling you, you no longer have authority. Don't think the children are stupid. They're very smart. Mm-hmm. They understand the dynamic, right?
Yeah.
You're under the school's authority and you don't know any better. That's why you have to send me to school. And I have parents who say, you know, my daughter begged me to homeschool her. And my heart breaks.
Wow.
Because if your child is asking you to homeschool them and you're refusing, that's just huge. That's huge.
Yeah. Sam, we're going to take a break. I just got a text from the general manager saying at 8 o'clock I'll be offering Sam your job. So that's a little nerve-wracking. So it's going to be a little tense 30 minutes to come. So I'm just saying, I'm just trying to be vulnerable and honest and open.
What's this guy with the tape putting on my mouth?
That guy's on my team. Anyway, I'm talking to Sam Sorbo, and the best way, Sam, to get a hold of you and access your stuff is what?
Yeah, people can reach out to me on samsorbo.com.
Okay.
There Your Kids is available at samsorbo.com, and Teach From Love is available on Amazon, easy to find.
Of course.
If you go to my website, the link's up there too.
Great. We'll take a short break and be back more with Sam Sorbo in just a minute. Good morning. It's 32 minutes after the hour. I have Sam Sorbo here in studio. We're talking about her book, Teach From Love, a devotional. And Sam, we had a lot of callers want to know, how do I get a hold of that sample chapter?
Easy peasy. You text the word teach, T-E-A-C-H, to 54900, and then they will send you a free download of a preview of the book. So it's great. It's they did a really nice job on that. So I urge people, text 54900, and you text the word teach to that number, and you'll get a free sample of the book.
And when we come back from news, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the book. Also, I want to talk about a movie coming out called Let There Be Light from director Kevin Sorbo. So we'll be back in just a minute with more of the show in just about 3 minutes.
If you're picking up drive-through coffee this morning on your way to work, tell them Bill says hi and make mine a double. The Early Morning Late Show on Faith Radio.
Over the past few decades, the Internet has revolutionized the way our world works. But with all the good comes the ugly. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Thanks to the web, teens and adults have never had easier access to pornography. In fact, even innocent web surfers are likely to run into graphic images. It used to be that filters and parental controls were enough to keep kids off inappropriate sites, but today's generation is so tech-savvy that many of those methods are now obsolete. Still, you're not powerless, so take control. It starts with candid conversations in the tween years about curbing our curiosity and the dangerous pitfalls of porn. Filter or no filter, a well-trained mind and a prudent heart will always be the greatest safeguard.
For more parenting tips from Mark Gregston, go to ParentingTodaysTeens.org. ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
Good morning. 22 minutes until the top of the hour. I have Sam Sorbo in studio with me. I could not be happier about that. She has written a book called a devotional called Teach From Love, and we've been talking about that. She's also got a movie coming out with her husband, Kevin Sorbo, who technically was going to be here this morning, but all of a sudden at the last minute, got to go play golf.
Well, he's playing with the greats. He's got Jack Nicklaus today and some of the other greats who, and I'm not a golf fanatic, so I can't remember their names. Hale Irwin, I think,
yeah,
is there.
Yeah, those are pretty big names in golf. Yeah, you know.
Like huge. Huge. And so,
huge.
Sorry you don't rate.
That's okay.
I'm really sorry about that. He's like, Sam can handle it from
but
here.
But he did send his stunt double Leroy.
That's right. Yeah. Leroy's over. He's doing pull-ups now.
Yeah.
All keep right. Your shirt on.
Exactly. Let's talk about the movie. How cool is that?
The movie, so it's pretty miraculous. I'll tell you the quick rundown of the story. The idea came to me, and I called a friend of mine who's a very well-known Hollywood screenwriter, and I said, would you consider writing a movie with me? To which he answered, of course, no. He just sold a screenplay for over $1 million. He really didn't need me. And he said, but you know what? Let's go have lunch. So we went and had lunch, and I told him the idea, and he said, I like it. We'll do it. And so he was in, and within 2 weeks, Sean Hannity, basically out of the blue, called Kevin and said, you know, I want to produce a faith film with you. Do you have anything? And I turned to Kevin. I said, that's my movie.
Wow.
So we flew to New York. We got a half hour with Sean, convinced him. He wrote a check. didn't ask for anything till he saw the finished product. I mean, it's really been an amazing experience. Within a year, we had a movie, which never happens in Hollywood. And now we've got our distribution lined up, so it comes out on October 27th. And Wing and a Prayer, baby. I'm just. It's just amazing. The way God has put this whole thing together has been amazing. But we need support. We need people to go see the movie now. So,
well, tell our listeners a little bit about the movie.
So the movie is about, you know, it started with this one idea. What if the world's greatest atheist had a near-death experience and saw something that he couldn't reconcile with his worldview? And so from there, it took off. And it's really the story of a man in struggle with God. It's a power struggle with God. And it's sort of representative of where men are in today's society. We've emasculated them to the point of they are simply breadwinners. They're called to bring home the bacon. Everything else, the woman is in charge of. My body, my life, my choice, you know, all of that. And we're also, because we've become so secular, we're sort of discouraging them from seeking a relationship with God. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're denigrating the parent, the father-child relationship. And so fathers are now no longer important to raise children. I mean, you and I know that they are.
Right.
Christians understand that that's a holy relationship that we need to preserve. But society as a whole, I mean, we just went through 8 years of a fatherless president. You know, we fatherlessness is growing in our society, and we need to reclaim that if we want this society to continue. So that's sort of some of the meta messaging of the movie. What we discovered, and in fact, that came into the movie. I can't even say it was by design. I take very little credit. This is all really God's doing, because we cut together the trailer that we just previewed on Hannity a couple nights ago. And what I realized when we tested the movie is it tests really well with women. It tests better with men.
Interesting.
When does that happen?
Yeah.
So this is the kind
of
movie where...
Are there helicopter crashes in it?
No. I mean, that's the thing.
That's usually what men
but,
like.
But what it does is it really resonates with men, because men are really struggling today to find a place. You're no longer allowed to open the door for the woman. You're not supposed to, you know, like they're struggling to find out what is expected of them if they're going to fulfill a role in society. And at the same time, you know, we've got abortion activists out there that saying men have nothing to do with anything. You don't get to decide. Women get to decide everything. I mean, it, you know, there's a lot of meta messaging that is anti-male right mm-hmm. now. And so I think that real men, when they see this movie, are like, yeah, that's right. And it really pulls at their heartstrings in a way that I think they probably don't expect. So for this movie, I would say, you know, if you... My desire for this movie is to bring people to faith. Really, that's my desire. There's a darkness that's descending on the globe. We see it in the black flags of ISIS. We saw it in the black swastika. We see it everywhere. There's this darkness, and there's only one antidote to the darkness, and that is light. Mm. The light, and that's why the name of the movie is Let There Be Light. So. My encouragement is for people who have friends who they're too afraid to invite to church, because, you know, we're called to invite people to church. If you love your church, you should be inviting people to it. If you mm-hmm. don't love your church, you should find a new church, you know. So my message is, if you have somebody that you're, you know, it's a little wonky, it's a little awkward, don't invite them to church. Invite them to see a movie.
Mm, yeah.
And maybe this movie will give them a little bit of a change of heart, a little bit of a curiosity. That's my goal. I want people to become curious and to know that there is absolute truth.
Yeah.
There is a truth, and we should look for it.
Jim, how did we go from Father Knows Best to Father Knows Nothing?
Yeah. Every sitcom. Dad's So Stupid. Homer Simpson. Every dad on every sitcom is like
Homer.
An idiot, you know?
Yeah, but you look at commercials. Mom is always smarter than dad. Dad's mm-hmm. the idiot. Mom mm-hmm. is smarter than dad.
Even and when the kids are smarter than the adults.
Yep. And then too. The only thing smarter than the kids would be the pets.
The dogs are clever.
They're very smart.
Yeah.
You know, but you always see this discussion between mom and dad over some, like, power tool or something, and mom's even smarter about the power tool than dad. I mean, he literally knows nothing.
It's sad to me. It really is. And you know, we should push back on that.
Yeah, I think we should.
You know, we should demand better. We sit too much in front of the boob tube. We zone out. And what we're not aware of is all the messaging that's coming across when we're not even paying attention.
Mm-hmm. And so, Kevin stars in the movie and directed.
Kevin stars and directed. I co-star. And my two boys are in it.
And did they have to go through regular casting?
They did.
Okay. How'd that work out?
I was actually really concerned because they were not very good actors. And I was like, uh-oh. But my co-writer was like, no, you have to cast the kids. And I'm like, well, I don't want them to, you know, they would be the brunt of every joke if we did that, because that's nepotism and everything. And they auditioned. They did a great job. And I cast them. Little did I know how cheap they were going to be.
For now, anyway.
No, it was much cheaper to cast them than to fly in someone else with their parents.
Sure.
And all of that. So it actually worked out really well.
Yeah.
And they did a great job. They're in the trailer. Oh, you can see the trailer at the Facebook page, LTBL, Facebook.
Slow that down a little bit. Say that again.
It's Let There Be Light.
Let There Be Light.
Yeah, but I think it's Facebook.com/LTBL.
Okay.
So we're asking people to text hashtag LTBL or hashtag share the light.
Okay.
And start the movement.
Cool. We'll take a break. When we come back, more with Sam Sorbo in just a minute. All right, it's almost 10 minutes until the top of the hour. I am enjoying having Sam Sorbo in studio with me today. How nice is this?
Thank you.
Usually it's just me in here slugging away. But
you have that great big mirror on the wall, though, so.
That's true. I ordered that and had it installed. Anyway, we're talking about the movie Let There Be Light coming out in, is it October or November?
October 27th.
October 27th.
Halloween weekend.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's right, baby. Push back the darkness.
You got it. And her husband, Kevin, is starring in it. He was going to be here today, but he could not make it. So Leroy's here on his behalf, which is nice.
More crunches.
More crunches. And we're talking about the... What goes on in making a movie in Hollywood? The fact that you've been able to get this done in a year is just unheard of.
Yeah, it is. It's really miraculous.
And did most of that have to do with Sean being able to write a check? Sean Hannity?
Well, it certainly hinged on him calling, making, you know, the money never chases you. You always chase the money. And and the money outruns you almost every time.
Mm-hmm.
So for Sean to reach out just out of the blue right after I had, you know, agreed to write the script with my friend was a message. I just looked at it as a message. I said, oh, that's my movie. And
give
then
me a
we
sign,
went
Lord,
and
any sign,
you know, and he's a very gut. He goes off his gut. He heard the story. He said, that appeals to me. Mm-hmm. I want to see that as a movie. And then when we sent him the finished product, he was just blown away. So it was
awesome.
Very cool.
Now, God's Not Dead, Kevin was in that, and that did pretty well as well, didn't it?
That did very well. Sadly, we don't own any of it.
I get
that.
But you could, your fortunes could be reversed with this movie.
You know what? I just want the movie to touch people's hearts.
Exactly.
I really just want the movie to get the message out there. I want it to go throughout the world. The world is hurting, and there is light. There is hope. There is healing. And that's the message of the movie. And I want that message to get across.
Mm-hmm. And who else is in the movie? What other cast members?
So we've got Dionne Warwick.
Nice.
She's singing our theme song. Very excited about that. Travis Tritt's also in the movie. And he was so great to work with. He's such a down-to-earth, cool guy. We've got some other, well, you know, those are the main names. And then there's this guy, Sean Hannity,
mm-hmm.
and he plays Sean Hannity,
really?
And he does it brilliantly.
Yeah,
it's like he just channels Sean Hannity. And he, that was amazing.
Yeah. So when the movie comes out in October, there is going to be, I would imagine, thanks to Sean, a lot of hype, or is he not allowed to hype his movie that he's producing on Fox? Does he have the freedom to do
well,
that?
Well, I think that the reason that he decided to enter the culture is that he feels that this kind of movie has been lacking. You know, we have Bad Santa, and we have Four Christmases, which depicts a whole bunch of dysfunction. It's funny. They're fun. They're funny, but they're not the message of Christmas. And so he was just thinking, you know, how about making some wholesome family values type of programming? So I think that there's a larger discussion. So rather than hawking the movie, what I think he intends to do is talk about that larger discussion of how do we change this culture? We've got a Hollywood media and a media in general that is anti-God. Mm-hmm. Anti-God.
Anti-God is good.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's the easy way
that
to
works.
Say it.
Yeah. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to push back with no God. They're anti-truth. No, truth. So they're anti-hope. No, hope.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus spoke in parables. There's a reason for that. Movies are parables. And in that respect, they emulate the teachings of Jesus. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're just trying to get the message out.
Sam, speaking of anti-God, what is it like living in California, living in Hollywood, being around the Hollywood types?
Well, okay, that's a bit of a loaded question. I mean, I live outside. What?
That's all I got.
Okay. I live outside of Hollywood. We've become quite polarized in this country. The reason that we've become polarized is because it used to be that Democrats and Republicans were both Christian. And now Democrats have become more communist, which is anti-Christian. You're smiling.
I agree.
Yeah, I know. People sort of go, wow, is she just, yeah, exactly. Did she just say that out loud? The reason that there is divisiveness is because they refuse to acknowledge absolute truth. It's very simple. They refuse to acknowledge absolute truth. They also refuse to acknowledge history. I mean, let's face it, the Republican Party ended slavery. The Democrats were very pro-slavery. They wanted slavery all the way up until Lyndon Baines Johnson, when he realized, oh, wait, if I could get the blacks on my side, then I'll win, you know, whatever.
Right.
So if we're not teaching history in our schools, which we aren't, how do you expect our young people to think anything other of socialism than that socialism is grandpa with candy? And that's why Bernie Sanders had such a shot at the election until the Democrats and Hillary Clinton thought that it was perfectly okay to lie, cheat, and steal the election away from him, the nomination away from him. And what's surprising to me is that even he didn't put up a fight, knowing full well that they had stolen his nomination from him, or any chance that he had of nomination. He didn't put up a fight. Why? Because he's a good communist, and communists don't put up fights. Mm. Communists do what the party expects. You're laughing.
I am laughing.
You have to read Whitaker Chambers.
Yeah?
It's a brilliant book.
Okay.
Called Witness. I urge all your readers to get it on audio. First of all, it's absolutely gorgeous. The man writes like Walt Whitman. He's just amazing. And the story is amazing. And you start to see inside the communist mentality. Because without a God, government becomes your God. And then anything that the government does is reasonable and justified.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the government contradicts itself.
Yeah. Sam, this has been fascinating. Hours already zipped through, and I just want to let our listeners know again how they can get their hands on stuff like
your book
and your movie.
Yeah,
because I want them to see the trailer.
Yeah,
and I want them to get access to your book, Teach from Love. Remind our listeners again how to do that, I think we'll try to get it on our website as well.
That'd be great. So, Teach from Love is available at Amazon. You can go to my website, which is samsorbo.com. For any of this information, for Teach From Love, for They're Your Kids. The website for the movie is lettherebelightthemovie.com, or go to Facebook, Let There Be Light, or Facebook, I think it's Facebook.com/LTBL. And go check out the trailer and like the page, please. We need as much engagement as we can possibly get. And we as a culture, if you want to preserve Judeo-Christian values, you need to support messaging that supports those values.
Awesome. All right, we'll take a short break and be back to wrap up the show. Thank you so much to Sam Sorbo, my in-studio guest. Sam, it was great having you here. I just loved you coming into studio and talking about your book and your movie. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll see you Monday. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show. Connecting.